following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 212, recorded on Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Mr. Brad Ludwig, and would it be Ms. or Miss Anessa Moyens?
Miss?
Miss? Okay.
Ms. Moyens, if you're nasty.
All right, hang on. Coming up on this episode, UFO sightings hit an all-time high. New Alien Covenant trailer looks bloody scary, and Russian soldiers zapped by aliens. Plus the sightings and our picks and warnings. Before all that, though, our question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
If it meant a better chance of surviving, would you be a collaborator with hostile alien invaders, or would you be part of the resistance?
I would be a part of the resistance because I would not be able to live with the guilt otherwise.
Even if, like, there's a 99.9% chance that you're going to die unless you become a collaborator, you're still going to resist.
Who's to say that the collaborators are going to survive in the end?
Okay. What if it's guaranteed fact that the collaborators are going to survive, but you have a 99.9% chance that you're going to die if you don't collaborate?
I would stick with the resistance.
Okay. All right. So, Brad, what's your answer?
So, the aliens are, like, destroying the Earth? Or are they good aliens or bad aliens?
Well, they're bad aliens. That's why there's a resistance.
Oh, they're bad aliens? Okay. Yeah. Well, then I would side with the resistance.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. There you
I'm
go.
I'm going to assume if there's a resistance, they're probably not that great.
Or maybe people just don't like change.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or they don't like cool stuff.
And pennies.
Yeah.
They don't want to be happy, so they're resisting the aliens. That will make them extremely happy because they're going to bring all kinds of cool modern technology and cures for diseases. They don't want all that. They want to resist.
There are people like that.
There are, but we can't talk politics on the show.
No, we are done. We are moving on.
So I would love answers from the listeners. So you can either call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. That's, again, 805-328-3966. Or email aliens@gncasts.com. Jump on the website, too, gncasts.com. Click on that little send us a voice message, and you can do it that way as well.
In the news,
UFOs are visiting at all-time highs, and I have yet to see one.
All-time
And this is according
high.
To new statistics, which say that the sightings are most common in the United States. The findings are based on data crunched by Sam Monfort, a doctoral student in human factors and applied cognition at George Mason University. Monfort wrote up his findings in a blog update that used information from the National UFO Reporting Center, New Fork. Not as cool as MUFON, but okay.
I was hoping you'd kind of figure out a way of doing it.
I tried. It's an organization that documents UFO sightings. According to Monfort's report, UFOs have been increasingly popping in, with 104,947 reported sightings on record over the past 100-plus years. That's a lot of sightings. The first recorded flyby occurred in Portland in 1905, where viewers reported seeing a, quote, buzzing sphere, shaped UFO that descended from the heavens. But sightings have spiked dramatically over the past 30-plus years, with the reported number jumping from around 5,000 in 1980 to roughly 45,000 in 2010. Other information from Monfort's findings points to the UFO phenomenon being a fairly U.S.-based trend. The nation collectively reports 2,500 sightings per 10 million people, which is 300 times more than the global median. More sightings are reported in the United States in the West and Northwest, with some states in the Northeast not far behind. Monfort thinks that America's rate of internet connectivity may explain the large numbers of U.S. sightings. Why are Americans obsessed with UFOs? Maybe it's related to the internet access, he wrote. You have to have internet access to submit a report, after all. So, yeah, and that came from the New York Post.
There's a reason why we do a podcast called the Alien Invasion.
Aliens.
So that's related somehow. Chicken or the egg? Probably the egg, right? We're the egg?
Or are we?
It's interesting where most of the sightings take place, right? Like it's West Coast, East Coast, where the bigger populations are. That's my thought.
Well, it said that it seemed to be more in the West and the Northwest than it was in the East, but there were, it was not far behind, I suppose. But I am thinking, because it doesn't really say like how far west you're going, so I'm thinking going even as far as like say Arizona or Nevada, where there's a whole lot of nothing and a lot of clear skies, versus the East, where it's much more heavily populated and you don't really see as great as skies. So I'm thinking there's better UFO viewing out west than there is in the East, which would be why the East Coast or the eastern half of the United States is trailing behind in UFO sightings. Maybe. Just a thought.
No. Seems legit.
Yeah, no.
Plus there's that whole Area 51.
Your logic is sound, Anessa.
It's all right.
No.
So anyway, that was kind of my guess, is just the viewing.
Can we think of any other reasons why sightings are up? Maybe because it has kind of exponentially gone up since the ride. One of the very first uber popular UFO sightings was, what was that pilot's name? He was the one that coined the phrase flying saucer, flying disc. That was the very first like major UFO
sighting.
And I
wish I could remember, because I started watching the 50 Years of Denial documentary that Daryl had brought to my attention. I didn't finish it, so it's not going to be my pick this week. I ran out of time during lunch today. So yeah, it's mentioned in there though. And I totally don't remember. I'm terrible. So no, I know who you're talking about though, who described the UFO as a disc, or a saucer shaped object. And that would, it appeared like it would be a saucer shaped object that would fly across the lake, you know, kind of like skip across the lake.
Yep, exactly.
So
I think
someday I will find the words.
Well, I think the rise of UFO sightings definitely has to do with the way we communicate, not just the internet, because you have to have internet connection to report to like MUFON.
MUFORC. No, and the other idea that I had was more and more people are owning drones.
That could be too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how the increased, well, I guess drones being more common in a household would affect the sightings of unexplained flying objects.
You know, also just more things in the sky, period, not just drones. Because I'm thinking, you know, they said what the last 50 some years, was it? What was the year, the number?
Well, not even like 50, like past 30.
Yeah, 30. Yeah.
They talk about it like going from like 1905, and then they compare the numbers from 1980 to 2010.
Okay.
And that's 5,000 in 1980 and 45,000 in 2010.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I mean, there's more stuff in the sky, period, not just drones. So yeah, I think,
and it's easier to report now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would people in 1980 really think to try to contact MUFON or somebody? Law enforcement, I suppose. But yeah, beyond that, telling their neighbor Joe, hey, Joe, guess what I saw last night?
And as we've proven, too, with our sighting segment, is a lot of times they'll go back and report a sighting they had back in, what, 1972 or whatever.
Yeah, they'll go back like 10, 20, 30 years or longer and report a sighting. So I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
All right.
That they would take so long to report it.
So let's hope that it rises some more. I want to see nothing but, I want to see everybody reporting a UFO.
Dave wants to see a full-on alien invasion.
Yeah, I do. Why do you think I started this podcast 6 years ago?
Well, you know, when I first saw the podcast, it was either going to be about aliens invading from space or foreigners invading our land. So I'm like, all right, let's see where this goes.
I wonder
the first base.
I wonder how many people, when they first see the name of this podcast, think it's about like aliens from other countries.
I wonder how many people are disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, talking about space aliens. What the hell? I'm turning
Gosh
off.
Darn it. Skip.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
Let's discuss the past week, shall we? What'd you guys do?
Well, Brad ate lots and lots and lots of cheese.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Why?
And
why?
Not
why,
enough fiber.
Why did you eat a lot of cheese?
We did our man's woodworking weekend, and part of it was to eat like we're 20 years old and being 40 now in my, well, close to 50, that doesn't work so well anymore. Let's say I almost took off my thumb with a power tool.
Oh, that's not good.
It's fully intact, so we're good. Thankfully, it had been used so many times that the router bit was dull, and my thumb hit it and just made a noise. Even though it was on at full speed, it didn't do anything to my thumb at all, so I got really lucky.
I cut my finger today on a ninja.
On a ninja?
A ninja.
Hi.
A cutting. It's like a big blender. I think it's a couple of different things that you can use it for, but it's got a big blade that I didn't see when I was washing dishes, and I just kind of brushed my hand against the blade.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That will do it.
Oh, I made a very delicious meatless stew tonight. I had never made stew before and didn't realize that it's a lot of work. There's a lot of ingredients and a lot of preparation that goes into making stew.
Depends on the stew.
That's true. We don't eat meat. That's why it was meatless. Well, we eat fish. That's the only meat that we eat. The recipe called for portobello mushrooms, and it was delicious. Very, very good.
Interesting.
I think it's the most complicated thing that I've ever made, ever.
Huh.
No.
Pretty proud of myself.
Well, good for you.
And Stephanie helped a little bit. Anessa, did you have something that you wanted to add? What did you do this week?
My week has been uneventful, I suppose. Well, for me, aside from the hem and one of my pants is coming undone, so now I'm like stepping on the leg of my pants. So there's that.
You had your 5-year anniversary of first time being on this show this week. I saw that come up on Facebook. That's very
exciting.
Yes,
that was yesterday, March 1st. I filled in for Brad.
if you want to.
I invaded the alien invasion, and then I invaded his heart.
If you want to find that episode, you can't. It's not on the website. You'll have to go to archive.org and just search for Alien Invasion 26, I believe. Episode number 26.
It's true. Yeah,
we sucked before Anessa came along. We were not good, Brad and I. So thanks for coming around.
I enjoyed the show, so.
Thanks for coming along there, Anessa. All right, so they released the first full trailer for Alien Covenant this week. If you listened last week, my pick was the prologue, which was just basically the crew of the Prometheus. What the hell am I thinking? The Covenant sitting around right before they go into cryosleep having a party. But this week, they released the full trailer for Alien Covenant, and it looks bloody scary. Did you guys see it?
No, have not yet.
Okay, so for the listeners that don't want anything spoiled about this movie, go ahead and turn the podcast off or just skip ahead, right? I guess that'd be the best way. It's not a lot of details, really. I'm not going to say too much about it. I will say that there's aliens.
What?
Yeah. It's a... Okay, so it's a sequel to Prometheus, but it's Prometheus wasn't much of an alien movie. This is kind of a full-on alien movie. Prometheus was more of a origin story as to how the aliens were made or how they first appeared on the scene. This is more of a, oh my God, the aliens are here, we're going to die kind of thing. Okay, so if you were bummed by the lack of scares in Prometheus, then it looks like your thirst for blood will be answered on May 19th. So Fox has released the new trailer for Alien Covenant. It introduces us to the crew, all couples, facing down killer xenomorphs, the crew of the Covenant. It's basically a colonization ship. It's the first ship to go out and colonize the galaxy or, you know, out of our solar system. So the flashes of violence that we see certainly live up to the film's tagline, "The path to paradise begins in hell." One of the biggest complaints about Prometheus was its lack of blood, its convoluted storyline involving space engineers, and its ambiguous ties to the original Alien. Covenant will be connected to the Alien saga more directly. This is the first of a trilogy, so Prometheus was the prequel to a new trilogy, which is a prequel to the original Alien trilogy. The plotline is simple. The Covenant crew lands on a distant planet to start the first large-scale colonization mission, but the group realizes not everything is what it seems when they find wheat growing and nothing else there. It's basically they land on this planet, there's no animals except for wheat, and they're like, how did the wheat get here? So that's pretty much obvious that humans have been there before, and that's the mystery. So Prometheus stars Michael Fassbender, Noomi Rapace, and Guy Pearce. They're reprising their roles from the original with newcomers Catherine Waterston, Demian Bichir, B-I-C-H-I-R, Bichir, probably.
Bashir?
Dr. Bashir?
I like Bashir myself.
It sounds like he's just distinctly unhappy with life.
Get Bashir?
Billy Crudup, James Franco, and Danny McBride. It's funny with those last two, it doesn't seem like that would be an alien movie, right? It seems like it would be like alien, but with like a lot of pot smoking.
Be Your Highness too, but in space.
But the trailer looks awesome. I encourage you guys to check it out. I will put the link in the show notes, and you can watch it for yourself or not if you don't want to be spoiled. And it's full-on xenomorph in your face. They're going to kill you. It's
in your face.
Yeah, and speaking of face huggers.
What?
Yes.
Well, that's how you get aliens.
See, when a mommy xenomorph and a daddy xenomorph want to have a baby xenomorph, they hug your face.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
This story was actually sent to us by Daryl Johnston. Russian soldiers zapped by aliens after shooting down UFO. Declassified CIA report claims. Here we go. This is from express.co.uk.
So you know it's going to be good.
You know it's high quality reporting.
High quality H2O.
Yes. Russian military shot down a UFO before they were attacked and killed by the surviving aliens. It is sensationally claimed in a declassified CIA report. The shocking report, which includes claims that 23 soldiers were turned into stone by the aliens in the UFO after they transformed into a ball of light, was buried among thousands of declassified files published online by the U.S. intelligence agency. The report in question, created on March 27, 1993, is a translation by the CIA of a report from a Ukrainian newspaper. The newspaper report said that after Mikhail Gorbachev lost power in 1991, many KGB files made their way to the CIA, including an alleged 250-page dossier on the bizarre UFO attack, which included pictures and witness testimonies. The report suggested that a they use flying twice, once as a verb and one part of as a noun, so it threw me off. Let's try this again. The reporter suggested that a low-flying flying saucer had appeared over a military unit in training in Siberia before one of the soldiers fired a surface-to-air missile, bringing it down. It said five short humanoids with large heads and large black eyes got out. Two soldiers are said to have survived, who described how, after emerging from the debris, the five beings merged into one brilliant white spherical ball of light that buzzed and hissed. They merged into Voltron.
Buzzed and hissed.
Yes.
Neat.
I wonder if they crackled with electric, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It then exploded.
Whoa.
And as it did, 23 soldiers who stood watching were turned into stone, the report claimed. The two survivors had been in a shaded area, the report said. So there you go.
That's a weird thing to include. They were in a shaded area. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I think that they were protected from the blast.
Oh.
They were behind something, so they weren't hit by the energy that converted the other soldiers into some stone-type form.
Oh, I see. Okay. Maybe they were turned into Inhumans.
I think they would have maybe just waited a little while for that, then the crack out of the shell, but I don't think it actually happened. It seems like
Inhumans or
Medusa is an alien.
There you go. Yeah, Medusa
is an alien.
Yeah,
they all turned to stone.
Yeah,
the other two weren't looking, so they were spared.
I think you're onto something, Anessa. I think you got it. That's the answer right there.
Fair enough.
I love these stories that we're getting from the declassified documents. It's pure gold. Gold, Jerry. Gold. Pure gold.
Get out of my head. I was thinking the same thing.
All right. So be aware of what kind of UFO you're witnessing, what kind of aliens you got there, because be ready to jump. You may have to dodge the turn to stone beam.
You need to dive for cover if you see aliens converge and become Voltron.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, this is something to keep to remember, right? Make a note of this, because if you see any of this kind of activity, it might be the same aliens. You never know. I mean, I'm being serious. I mean, this is...
No, you know what? The 1950s duck and cover rule, I think it applies.
Yeah. So, what do you think is causing, or what do you think caused these soldiers to get turned to stone? Like, what kind of technology could cause that? And were they really turned to stone? Or did it just, it was like some kind of, like, stun gun, sort of?
What was it? Somebody had... It's a UFO conspiracy thing. And Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Lot's wife. When she... Everybody was running away. They weren't supposed to look back at the destruction of the city. And she stopped and she turned and she looked. And I remember one of the people that have analyzed the story and said, well, it was a nuclear attack. Mm-hmm. And she was caught in the blast wave and she was probably just immediately flash fried. And, you know, would kind of turn to ash essentially, but still had some solid form. It was still holding together. So I wonder if something like that happened.
Or maybe the story of Medusa comes from these aliens that were around back in, is that Greek times?
Ancient Greek times, yeah. Yes.
So Medusa's maybe an alien. I mean, she, what was she described as? She had,
she had scaly skin.
Yeah.
She was basically... Well, she was turned into a snake woman for her. She was a priestess of Aphrodite, and she declared she was a very beautiful woman, and she declared herself more beautiful than Aphrodite.
Which you don't do.
And her punishment was to be turned into a horrendously ugly creature that would turn people to stone upon looking. At her.
Well, maybe all these stories that are, you know, myth are actually based on reality. Maybe back in those times, there was just a bunch of aliens running around, like pretending to be gods, right?
That could be. That very well could be. I mean, we've talked about how super science or technology far beyond what we currently know, or like the next level of things that people have theorized would be considered magic.
Yep.
So, I mean, like if we were to go back in time to say the early 1700s and wave a cell phone around, people would think we're insane. You know, burn the witches.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com, or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
It had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
This sighting comes to us from the year 2003 from Sholo, Arizona.
Sholo.
Here's the brief summary. The craft looked like a lighthouse moving in a S-shaped path then shooting off into the stars at an angle in the opposite direction. Amazing! Now, this report was entered in, what was it, March 30th of 2004. The
entered in where? To where? To who?
To the computer. It was sent to the MUFON folks. MUFON.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This person was the only one to have witnessed this 10-second UFO sighting. Now, here's the full description. I was looking up into the stars at approximately 9 p.m., as I usually do before bed, and I saw one of the stars starting to move from the northeast to the southwest in an S-shaped pattern, becoming brighter, then dimmer, then disappearing, then reappearing and repeating brighter, dimmer, off on light sequence, exactly like a lighthouse on the ocean, except this was far away from any ocean, high up in the mountains of northern Arizona on a beautiful, clear, cool night with no moon, just billions of beautiful stars. And one of them was moving. It continued on this S-shaped path for several seconds, and suddenly it became very bright, almost like an explosion, and shot off in the opposite direction at what looked like 1,000,000 miles per hour up into the stars and disappeared. The total time, as we said earlier, was about 10 seconds. And this person who reported this says, "Now, I usually do see from time to time the space station and space shuttle and other satellites moving across the sky, but in a straight, steady flight path with no variations whatsoever. What I saw on this particular night was definitely out of this world, and it excited me. I actually called the local law enforcement agency, and they verified what I saw was only the final 10 seconds of a very substantial sighting lasting more than an hour that was called in by more than 100 people before me. Some had actually witnessed it as it landed. And according to the Sheriff Department dispatcher, two U.S. Air Force fighter jets were sent out to intercept it, but lost it, whatever it was. Also, the dispatcher at the local police department, whom I called immediately after the sheriff, was very serious with me when she told me that I wasn't crazy, that many people saw the same thing, and that all law enforcement agencies in the area were on high alert due to the fact that the object was unidentifiable." Now, this person states that they are that at the time they were 34 years old. They were also nuclear chemistry undergraduate with a 4.0 GPA. Other comments here. "I am now an avid enthusiast and follower of the books, videos, concepts, and ideas of Eric von Däniken." Let's see.
Why does that name sound familiar? Why, Eric von Däniken. What does he do? What is he?
Von Däniken was Chariots of the Gods.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Okay.
Yep. And he's done other things. Like, I believe he did a book on Atlantis as well, but I may be mistaken on that. If you do know, hey, you can contact us at aliens@gncasts.com and set me straight, by golly.
Or comment on the YouTube video. Getting a lot of comments recently. That's good.
So there you go. This person, male or female, R. Lavender was the name of the person who sent in this report. And again, I said that they were in Sholo, Arizona.
Sholo, yo.
Sholo, and it's S-H-O-W space L-O-W in Arizona.
Go ahead. I was going to say, there's a lot of cool things about this sighting. They are a nuclear chemistry undergraduate with a 4.0 GPA. That lends some legitimacy to you, to a witness. And the fact that they were not alone. Like, they were...
Yeah.
A lot of people were reporting this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, when you're seeing something that you really don't quite understand and it defies logic, it's nice to have the comfort of, like, people that you trust that won't just humor you and will give it to you straight, will confirm the fact that you're seeing something and you haven't lost your marbles.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to the police dispatcher that said, no, you're not crazy. You're...
No, you're okay.
Well, all right. That's a cool sighting. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Brad.
Absolutely.
Any more thoughts on this before we move on?
I love that he included amazing in all caps in his summary.
Well,
or her summary.
To be fair, it was pretty freaking astounding. And they only caught the last 10 seconds of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There was supposedly a full, 50 minutes and 50 seconds. It went on for a full hour before he even or she even saw this. So there's a lot going on there.
So what do you think their name is? What does the R stand for? I'm going to say Ronaldo Lavender.
Reginald.
Okay.
Roberta.
Okay. Ah,
there you go.
All right.
We have no idea if it's male or female. So there you go.
Any of us could be right or wrong.
What are your thoughts? Hey, you can contact us at aliens@gncasts.com.
805-328-3966 also.
Do you like scary movies? Did you answer yes to that question? Have you ever thought, I'd really like to listen to two random strangers talk on the internet about some movies that I may or may not have watched at some point in my life? Sometimes they even bring guests on, which adds to a little bit of the banter. Sometimes we cover the news of the week. Sometimes we don't talk about the movie at all. Sometimes one of us gets a little bit drunk. It's just the way that we do things over at the Podcast of Terror. If you're interested in this, please go ahead and head over to gncast.com/pod. Subscribe and enjoy the crap out of it.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
Time for Picks and Warnings. I haven't done the song for a while. Picks and Warnings, Picks and Warnings. All right, these are alien/UFO/extraterrestrial interdimensional being related things that we have taken into our senses visually, auditorily, whatever.
Through our noses.
Yes. Through our brains.
Who knows? Who knows? We're keeping it open.
I watched an incredible documentary today called Curse of the Man Who Sees UFOs. This was one of the most enjoyable documentaries that I've seen in a very, very long time. So I'm going to just read you the summary, and then we can talk about it. We can discuss. Christo Rapolo claims to have been videotaping and communicating with UFOs around Monterey, California for several years. He contacted filmmaker Justin Garr in 2013 to begin creating a film about his sightings. Skeptical of the footage, but intrigued by Christo's eccentricities and wild stories, Justin begins spending time with Christo hunting UFOs along California's beautiful central coast. When a crop circle appears in Monterey County and becomes international news, Christo is validated in his belief of alien contact, and Justin, shocked, begins investigating the source of the crop circle and how Christo knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's being contacted by his brothers from space. The two travel up and down the central coast and through the Central Valley, hunting for UFO activity. Christo is like a traveling UFO preacher, explaining the sightings to passerbyers, asking about their own experiences with the unknown, spreading his gospel of extraterrestrial salvation. In their journey together, Justin finds that sometimes aliens from space can tell us more about our own humanity than the people on Earth. Whoever wrote that summary did a fantastic job. That comes from IMDb. But saw this on Netflix today, did a search for UFOs, found this, and it was very enjoyable. It's like one of those documentaries that you're not quite sure if it's going to be good at first, but then you sit back and you enjoy it, and you're like, wow, this is fantastic. This guy takes these videos of things he sees in the sky, and all of his videos, all of his the stuff that he's recorded, they're all like lights in the sky. He's never captured like a solid object. It's always just like orbs. But he's got such conviction that these things are real that you kind of really love the guy after watching the movie. It's like you want to believe because he believes so much in these things that he sees. And then you learn about his life, how crappy his life has been. You're like, oh, he's hanging on to this because it's pretty much the only thing he has. Because he lost his he wasn't married, but his fiance died of cancer. His dad died when he was younger, and then his brother took all of his money. And his mom pretty much, what do you call it when you disowned him?
Disinherited?
Yeah, disinherited, disowned. So he's got nothing. And pretty much he said in the documentary that this filmmaker became his brother. Hmm. Like they became so close. And it just, this guy has an interesting life. Like he was in a punk band. He did film it. He produced a few films. Like he directed, and he actually put the films together. He got interested in filmmaking at an early age. Still is involved a little bit. It's really this guy. He's crazy, obviously. Like he's not certifiably, but he's like, I'm sure there's something going on there, but.
Well, when you've had tragedy upon tragedy upon tragedy heaped upon you, you're going to have a hard time quite possibly keeping it all together.
Yeah. He's got a couple of really cool dogs. He lives in, he makes music in his house. Like he takes the pictures, the video that he of the, these UFOs and figures out like the spectral frequency of the photos and makes music out of them. Which is crazy. It's like, I don't know how he does it, but he makes music from the videos and pictures that he takes.
Hmm.
And the description was right, too. He, like, will be out there looking at whatever he sees, and he'll strike up a conversation with somebody, and it's some of the most amazing things that you'll see. Like, he has such rapport with people. He really bonds with people over this kind of stuff. So I highly recommend Curse of the Man Who Sees UFOs. It's on at least Canadian Netflix. I'm not sure about the American version. And I'm going to give
I did see it on our listing here in the States.
Sweet. Okay. 5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Oh. Think we'll have to check it out then.
Yeah. Definitely recommend it. Okay, Brad, what do you got?
Well, I decided to watch a 3D film that had kind of been on my radar, and I was interested in taking Alex to go see it, but it left the theater kind of quickly. It didn't do all that well. That film is called Ratchet and Clank, which is based on the video game series. Now, star-studded a cast of voice actors. You had, you know, John Goodman. I didn't pull up the IMDb on this. Feel bad. But, you know, the interesting things about it is that, there we go. Yeah, this was just last year that it was out. We had Paul Giamatti, Bella Thorne, Rosario Dawson, Armin Shimmerman.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sylvester Stallone does a voice for this film, and there's Jim Ward, who has, you know, done countless voice acting appearances. Star-studded cast, and it's sadly it didn't do very well in the box office, and it was, I don't know, it, I thought it was kind of enjoyable. It was a fun film, and definitely it was aimed towards kids. And if you're a kid or a kid at heart, I think that you would enjoy it quite a bit. What is the film about? That's a good question, and I'm glad you asked that. Now, Ratchet is a mechanic by trade. He just seems to have an adeptness, a way with building things. He dreams something, he builds it, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But he's just a very interesting and impulsive being. And what's interesting about him is nobody's ever seen his kind before. He is the only one. He has a dream of joining the, the Galactic... crap. And I just watched this.
The Galactic Network.
Rangers. There we go. Whew. So he really wants to join the Galactic Rangers. And it turns out that they have an opening. So they're doing tryouts. He at first is turned away. But then he somewhat accidentally... saves the town that he's from. And he's impulsive. He's quick-witted, and he saves the day. And kind of as a PR thing, because all of the journalists were there to interview the Galactic Rangers, they kind of had no choice but to sign him up. Because he had done something so amazing and saved so many lives. They had no intention of getting anybody from this town, but here they are. There is an evil force that is destroying planets. We come to find out that it is saving parts of planets, though. I don't want to give too much away. IMDb gives it about a 5.6 out of 10. I'm going to give it a 2.5-3 flying saucers out of 5. It's a movie that's good for, you have to go into it just
in the right
with movie. Childlike wonder. I guess is the best way to describe it. I was feeling kind of ill when I watched it, so I was in a very receptive mood to be entertained. So I did enjoy it quite a bit, and I'm trying to adjust my rating on that based on that. So there you go. Ratchet and Clank from 2016. You can find it on Netflix currently, and I give it about 2.5 or 3 flying saucers out of 5.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Rounding out the picks and warnings, Miss Anessa Moyens.
Either one works, too. Yeah. Whatever works for you. Mine is an app. It's available apparently only through the Google Play Store. I tried to find it on iTunes and no luck. But anyway, if you're bored and you're wanting to look through UFO sightings, there is an app called UFO Hunters. It is free. Like I said, it's only on the Google Play Store that I could find. You can view sightings based on just throughout the world. So there's a very broad view. And then you can kind of narrow it down by geographic location. So you can look at UFO sightings in Africa, and it will list the last 100 reported sightings that they have. And that's pretty much what the app does. There's also an option that I thought was kind of cool called Near Me. And it will give you a map along with a shaded blue circle. It's a nice little radius. I'm not sure what that radius is. I would guess probably about 100 miles, 75, 100, looking at the cities around. So anyway, within that circle, within that radius, it will show you sightings that have been reported near you. And it signifies these sightings by cute little UFO shapes. They're little flying saucers. They're like neon green, and you can zoom in and you can tap on the UFO, and then it will zoom in closer and closer and closer. And then you can't even tell like what you're looking at anymore. But anyway, to me, it's got a little kink in that it takes a few taps in order for the sighting to pop up for the UFO that you're looking at. Once the sighting pops up, then, and I'm trying to get it to display a sighting for me. I'm not sure where I ended up at this point on the map. But anyway, so above the UFO, you will have the name of the area, and it'll tell you, you know, like, oh, it's in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And then you can click on it and get more information and see, like, oh, you know, like, this person saw this. And as with anything, the UFO sightings can be very wordy. Or they can be incredibly short. I was playing around with this and came across a sighting that was like, I was outside, I saw a red and a blue light, and then it disappeared. Fantastic.
All right.
So, anyway, like I said, if you're bored and you're wanting to check out sightings, I do recommend it. It does not, that I see, have a feature where you can upload your own sightings. It's just pulling data from their site, from their database. So, yep, there you go. UFO hunters on the Androids.
It's got somebody's API, it sounds like.
Yep. I think it goes to like UFOhunters.com or UFO-hunters. I forget how it works.
Okay.
Like the actual website. But, yeah, I would recommend it. Like I said, if you're bored and you're wanting to just read up on UFO sightings, that's the way to go.
What's your rating on that?
I would give it 3 out of 5 flying saucers. I think it would be cooler if you had a way to log your own sightings. I saw some people complaining about pictures, but I mean, really, you're just going to see blurred streaks. Why do you need a picture? So,
yeah, anyway. When I first saw that was your pick, I thought maybe it was like, because we've talked about many times, including last week, about better ways of capturing a UFO sighting if you see a UFO. And I thought maybe this was like a tool to help you with that or something like that.
No, I believe I've covered another app that was on the, I think it might have been on both platforms, or it would have been on like the Apple iOS. And that one, I think, if I recall correctly, would allow you to like report and record sightings. I'll have to see if I can find that and see if they've improved it. So yeah, I mean, there are apps out there that will allow you to record your sighting and then you can upload it and it goes, I don't recall if it goes to MUFON or where. But no, I thought that one's pretty cool too. I do like that feature of being able to upload. But if you're, you know, you don't really care, you're not looking to the skies, then you can do UFO Hunters.
All right. So in review, let's take a look here. Anessa, like she said, just said she had UFO Hunters. Brad had Ratchet and Clank, Ratchet and Clank movie, and I had Curse of the Man Who Sees UFOs, the 2016 documentary. Both of those you can find on Netflix. And you can find the links to our picks in the show notes, and you can check them out for yourselves.
If you have a question or comment about anything that you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, email contact@gncast.com. Leave a voicemail message by calling 805-328-3966 or go to gncast.com/contact. We read, listen to, and appreciate all of your feedback.
We got some feedback, folks.
What?
Whoop, whoop.
For some reason, we're getting a lot of comments on our YouTube videos as of late. So these are just a few of the many that we've gotten in within the last week. From, and I might need some help pronouncing this guy's name, from D-E-R-A-I-K-Z-U-N.
Deraxun?
Deraxun?
Deraxun.
From YouTube, and he comments on episode number 207. And I love this. I'm listening to this every time I'm going to bed. Usually I lay around for 2 to 3 hours before I actually fall asleep. Please don't talk about such interesting topics. Ha ha. I will join the Patreon army in 3 days when my paycheck arrives. I don't know if he did, but thank you for thinking about it anyways. And thank you for the comment.
Absolutely.
All right. From Paolo Marini, who has made comments before.
Paolo.
In fact, he's got another one that I did not include, but I will include it next week. He says, many congratulations for your countdown episode, 210. Get it? Question mark. With the recent discovery of 7 planets around the star called TRAPPIST-1, which we did not cover last week. I don't know why we didn't cover it, but we didn't. It's okay.
We didn't?
No, we didn't.
No, we did.
We did?
I thought we talked about it.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm dumb. I'm wondering what would be the event that will be used as year zero for the new calendar to be used for dates in a faraway place. He says, let me explain. Most of the computers on the internet use January 1st, 1970 as year zero and count time in seconds starting from that moment so that a big number like, he put a big number, can be then translated into the same time from different time zones here on Earth by saying that 47 years and change have passed since then. Hmm. But when considering a faraway place, we'll have to deal with date zones, too. And, for instance, the same number of seconds on the planet TRAPPIST-1 will mean that 2823 or 2823 years and change have passed since the epoch, given that a year lasts 6.1 days. And because those planets are likely tidally locked, meaning that their rotation period is equal to their orbital period, there won't be passing days to speak, but only passing years, since the same side will always be facing the star, much like our moon does. So, thoughts, guys? That's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe there's an international, like, date? Like a star date, like on Star Trek?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Well, I wonder if they would use an atomic clock and base it off of the most Earth-like planet of the three and use that as the demarcation for a day and mark the time off of that.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
It kind of seems like it might be the most likely thing they would do.
Mm-hmm. That
I don't know
if all the planets are in communication with each other, you know, if they're yeah. all habited, if they're all habited and communicate with each other, I guess a system like that would work. I was thinking this is totally not in relation to his question or his query, but those planets, it'd be, I wonder if they're a close system, like, because it's a small star, right? It's a very small star. It's like a fraction of the size of ours. So the planets have to be closer together, right? In order for them to all be in the habitable zone.
Well, they're not all seven are in the habitable zone. There are only three that are. And that's E, F, and G.
But still, if I recall correctly. I'm guessing they're very close to each other.
Yeah, they do seem to be very close.
That's cool. That'd be awesome to have a bunch of planets that close where it'd be somewhat easy to get to, you know? Be like Mars being habited, and then maybe Venus even closer. No, Venus is actually closer than Mars, isn't it? In our system. I thought. Maybe not.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Okay. All right. Just some thoughts.
So Venus is 25 million miles from Earth.
Yeah, it's just a walk in the park. Just around the corner.
And Mars is 225 million miles. Or sorry, wait, was that miles or kilometers? Oh, they didn't convert. Why would you do that to me? Now I have to convert. Okay, so 25 million miles, Venus. 225 million kilometers from Mars.
Kilometers. I haven't lived in this country long enough to be able to do the conversion off the top of my head. Sorry.
I mean, really, why would you do that? Why would you do that, universe, today?
That's weird. That's very weird.
So inconsistent.
Okay, while you're figuring that out, we have one more short comment. It's from Reho on YouTube about episode 210. In the movie The Abyss, are they classified as USOs?
I don't recall if they...
I think it was just a thing that they encountered and that was it. I don't think they actually said it was a USO.
Yeah, because as I recall, it's... It just kind of shows up. Who's the actor? Chris.
I don't know. It's been so long. Okay, back to the original.
Gosh darn it. Okay. It's...
I want to read this real quick from Mike. Yeah. Mike in the chat room. During this period, Venus would be the closest planet to Earth. However, there are times when Mars is actually the closest planet. For example, during the August 2003, Earth and Mars were at such a point in their orbits that Mars was at one of its closest distances to Earth. So it varies depending on the orbit.
Chris Elliott.
He was in that?
Yes.
The funny guy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
140 million miles.
Okay.
On average.
That was such a weird, like, we're all over the place with that.
A little bit.
it bothers me because the internet is like, I'm going to give you miles from here to Venus and kilometers from here to Mars. And I'm like, that's great. Let's convert. 139,808,518 miles later.
All right. I'm glad that we established that.
Yes.
Thank you for all the comments, guys. And you can comment on the YouTube video. You can make a comment via email, like Brad has been saying, all episode, aliens@gncasts.com. You can call the voicemail number 805-328-3966 or leave a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, gncasts.com.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncasts.com/subscribe or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click on the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for providing our intro music, the song called Alien Syndrome. You can find out more at soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol. He's got a brand new EP out too called EP4. You can find that on his SoundCloud. And he's also got a Bandcamp page, monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also, Ritward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net. And Ben Olson for recording our disclaimer audio at the very start of the episode. You can find out more about him at benolson.com. So thanks.
Yay, Ben.
Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, Bradley.
Oh, Chris Elliott's character's name was Bendix.
That sounds like an alien name.
It does, kind of.
Sounds dirty.
A little bit, I'll give you that.
Yep. Dirty alien. Okay.
Dirty alien.
Anessa, what do you got? Final thought. Go.
I don't know.
After dirty, dirty alien.
I know. I'm like,
how do you come back from that?
2-1-0. Blast off.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.